Hello, and thank you for listening to another episode of the Road Trip Playlist Podcast. My name is Thomas Darrow. I am your host. This week on the Road Trip Playlist Podcast, my guest is Australian singer-songwriter Riley Pearce. You may know him from his song Brave, which has amassed over 60 million streams. Riley recently released an EP titled Maybe I Can Sleep It Off that I encourage you to listen to. I talked with Riley about his path in music, which started with street performing and busking in Australia, to where he is now. I was really impressed at the effort that Riley put into booking his own gigs, and it really was his own hustle that he was able to help his career in music take off. He makes really great music. I loved talking with him and getting to know more about his story. Check out the interview after a quick word from our sponsor. How's it going?
Hey, not bad. Yourself?
Not bad. Thank you so much, Riley. I appreciate it. I joked with Christy when she was scheduling it, because she originally was saying really like 8 a.m. for you, and I feel bad. So want to thank you. And I also want listeners to know that you're in Australia calling way, well, it's not way early in the morning anymore, but it's pretty early in the morning for an interview for me. And so I'm such a fan. So this is a real pleasure. So thank you.
Ah, pleasure. It's usually so. This is fine.
So like I said, you're in Australia. I have some sort of, I am in love with every single piece of Australian music. And so what is it about Australia that produces the most like amazing music?
I don't know. We do have a track record of having some pretty good artists come from Australia. So I think it's a bit more of a laid back lifestyle, and I suppose that tends to breed some good songwriting. People don't take themselves too seriously, so it's and everyone kind of enjoys live music, and especially it being like a warmer weather climate, there's more opportunities for like festivals and live shows, so maybe that's where it comes from.
Absolutely. And it's, yeah, it's incredible. And there's so many, I have a full on playlist of just Australian musicians that I listen to, because I found it. I was probably like 6 months into, so why this is called the Road Trip Playlist Podcast, I started going on a road trip and traveling to new places every month. And so I would make a playlist for every trip. And so it was probably like three or four trips in, I'm like, what, I start looking into the bios of all this music that I've discovered making playlists, and I'm like, everyone is from Australia. So I started making Australian playlists. And so just because it's music I love.
Yeah. Australian music just suits the road trip. Hey,
that's the thing, is it's perfect for road trips. And so that's actually the first question I like starting off with, Riley, is I like asking my guests what's on their road trip playlist.
That's good. I suppose it depends how long the road trip is, I reckon, because I reckon you start off wanting something chill, and then at a certain point you reach like some sort of level of like delirium where you want to have songs that you can just like belt out that are a bit more like poppy, that the ones that would usually be like, I suppose you're like, the ones that you might be a bit ashamed to be cranking in front of friends. But by that point in the road trip, you don't really care. So you just, everyone's singing Britney Spears and those sort of things. So, a real mix.
Absolutely. That's so funny. So what's some of the stuff that you start off with, the stuff that you like, before it's the stuff that you're kind of ashamed of?
I suppose you probably have them in your playlist. There's a banquet from Queensland called the Hollow Coves, and their stuff's really, really good for road trips, and especially if you like that initial start of a road trip, you're kind of excited about the prospect of the whole journey, and you're kind of looking outside the window at all the different landscapes you kind of pass through, and yes, that is good for road trips. Off the top of my, maybe it is too early for an interview. I can't think of any,
Hollow Coves, yeah. Coastline and the woods have been like anthems on many of my road trips. And so But also, like, speaking of my road trip playlist, you just released an EP that has like probably two or three of the five songs are on my latest road trip playlist. And so I want to talk about your EP, your new EP, Maybe I Can Sleep It Off. I think it's a brilliant EP.
Thanks.
The first song of the EP, Leap Year, addresses a very vulnerable feeling, which I'm sure a lot of artists have, is of not being able to write a good song again in their life. And so this EP is full of good songs. Can you tell me a little bit more about the EP and the creation of it?
Yeah. So, I was in a point where I was a bit unsure of like my songwriting, and I wasn't as motivated to sit down and write songs, and it felt a bit more like a chore than something that I'd like initially been excited by. And when you like look back as that to like when you first start writing songs, you do it because you love it and you're not expecting anything to come out of the songs. And I had to rediscover that love for my own songwriting and that passion behind it for me to get back to the place where I was creating good songs, and I wasn't sitting down trying to write something that was going to be good. I was just I got to the point where I was like, all right, like it doesn't matter what happens, if you write a song and it doesn't turn into anything, then that's right, it's all practice. And from that, good songs just ended up kind of coming out because I was in a better frame of mind to tackle my songwriting.
That's amazing. And yeah, I can't imagine, because I write a lot, and I put so much pressure on myself anytime that I'm starting to write something that I know will be published. And then I don't like sharing it with people close to me because I don't want them to read it, and I don't want to hear what they think. And it's weird to me when people find this stuff. And so I love that it starts out, the EP starts with Leap Year, and a song that kind of has fear about writing another good song and this pressure. And then you finish it with Breathe and Release, which is my favorite song by you, probably of all of your songs right now.
Oh, thanks.
And it's such a nice contrast, and it feels kind of, that song feels kind of free as you realize that you don't the thing, the best part about it is that you're doing what you love doing. How did that realization of the songwriting and kind of the freeing aspect of it come to you as you wrote this EP?
Yeah, well, I actually sat down wanting to write an album first of all, and the I ended up recording two 6-song EPs, and they were in quite distinct themes, which is why I decided to separate them, so that I could kind of, rather than talk about like combine the stories of them, I could split them up, and yeah, this the first one, yeah, as I said, was like all about the songwriting and my journey through it. And it was a real journey. So like the songs are kind of laid out in that order, like you said, as that, like starting with that self-doubt and overcoming that, and then that getting to the place of feeling good in it. And because there's so many outside forces, as you probably know with your writing, like telling you what's good, what's bad. And especially like social media is like, it's like a necessary evil, and it's great for a lot of things, but it just amplifies those doubtful voices sometimes. And yeah, you are like, you get into the habit of if it doesn't achieve certain things, then you write it off as being not good, when there could be a million different reasons why something didn't connect. And it might even connect later on down the line. Like that happens all the time with people's songs and people's art. And yeah, so Breathe and Release is that realization that just do it for yourself, like find your own happiness in it, and everything will work out.
And that's so amazing. And songwriting, like you mentioned, like the point where social media starts being a factor that you think about. Me with my writing, I never wanted to write because I was so scared to like tell people that that's like a dream that I had. And then I ended up moving to New York, and it kind of fell into my lap. And then once I did it, I was like, okay, this is what I've always wanted to do. I don't know why I didn't pursue it, but it was for like my own self-doubt and fear. So I want to know, was there a time like that with music? Like, when did you start really first like writing your own songs? And then what was the moment where you started sharing them with other people?
Yeah, so I started writing my songs maybe like end of high school, maybe just after high school. I was doing a lot of busking. I don't know if you call it busking in America, but like where you street performing, where you just play on the street and put your case out, and if people walk past, they put in some coins or something.
Absolutely. That's a thing that all Australian musicians do too, I feel like.
Is
that's the start to busking. I'm from Utah, so it's a very cold climate. So I don't see a lot. Okay. I don't see a lot of street performers, unfortunately. But then when I went to New Orleans, or I went to New York, and I would see them all the time. And it was one of my favorite things. And so, yeah, it was such a new concept for me. So then when I read about like the stories of these musicians I love in Australia, busking is such a huge part. So I love that you mentioned that.
Yeah, it is. And I think a lot of artists, like what we call like earn their chops over on busking, where it's like you put in the hours and you get used to rejection, because not everyone stops to give you a coin or give you their time. So you'd learn to appreciate it when it does happen. And yeah, I think it's a good way to test your own material. And if you start off playing covers and then slip in like your own original song and it feels natural, then that's kind of a nice little indicator of how your songwriting's going. but yeah, I don't know. There was probably a point when I was doing a lot of that busking, you meet so many nice people. I was busking at like a farmer's market, and was like the main place I went. And then I had a few other spots around, and you meet so many nice people. And I wanted to give like something of my own, like a CD. So I was like starting to write songs, and they were pretty terrible, but I just like saved up the money that I'd made busking and went and recorded some songs in like a day or two. And, had this like CD that I could then sell to people and give to people as like a, as they came past. And I had something of my own music, because, and that felt great. And from there, I was just like, all right, let's do it properly from now on, sort of thing. And I just kind of got way more invested in that whole world.
Wow. And so when did it start being something where it was being pushed to people, outside of the streets of busking, and kind of like online for people to get a hold of?
Yeah, I probably put those songs online. They're not online anymore. Okay. Because afterwards I realized that they were not recorded the best, because I didn't really know what I was doing. I hadn't ever been into a recording studio before, and had no idea. And I hadn't been to like a music school, so I didn't really have too many friends that were musicians as well. So I was so new to the whole industry that everything was foreign. And then after that, I was like, all right, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it properly. So I like started playing gigs and open mic nights to start, and really kind of working. I just started writing more songs, and I got so involved in that. Like I'd get the like, there'd be like what they call street press, which is like where all the local gigs and all the news about local releases and stuff are published. And I would go through and I would like research and listen to all of the, anytime I saw a band's name listed, I would go online and like try and find their music to suss out what that band sounded like. And I'd be emailing them all and be like, hey, like if you need someone to support your gig, like I was like hustling like my life depended on it. Wow. To try and do all those things to just like get a try. And like, it was exhausting, but it was like I was consumed by it all, and having to like, I don't know, like I just loved the idea of being able to like try and build an audience around my music and reach different people and see how it works.
Wow, that's incredible. And one of the things where I really read that you reached a lot of people very quickly was Brave. And so did that come from that initial hustling and writing people with the gigs, or how did that come as quickly as it did? Now it's close to, I mean, it's over 30 million streams on all platforms. We'll probably double that, probably like 60 million. How did that come? When did the turn come?
Yeah. I don't know. It's when I look back on it, like I'm still baffled by how it's done so well. Like it's a song I wrote in my garage, sitting on top of a box of dress ups, like costumes and stuff. But,
you're kidding.
Yeah. And I don't know how. Yeah, it was just a few small things. Like it got like a nice like premiere on a good blog. After I just emailed them, because I thought that person liked similar music to that song, so I was like, oh, this person might want to do it. And I was all self-managed at the time, so I had to do everything myself. And So it was just like emailing different kind of like media outlets and blogs online, and then it got a few kind of like stepping stone wins that then triggered something else. And I think these two dudes in Austria did a remix of it that went well, and then someone then discovered the actual song, and that got onto a bunch of good playlists and stuff. So it was, it all happened like not that quickly in terms of after the release of the song, but quickly in terms of, I suppose, just from where I'd come from, having like not too many listens to all of a sudden quite a lot of plays. So yeah, it was crazy.
But I think like the one of the incredible things is, and themes is, you talking about just ways that you kind of were, you initiated so much of it. You would go and you did so much research on bands that just released stuff near you and did stuff to support you, emailed and reached out to different bloggers like on your own. And I think that's so incredible. Where did you learn that or get the ideas for those kind of things?
Well, I kind of realized quite early that because I was the only, like, I wasn't managed by anyone or anything, like, if I didn't do those things myself, it wasn't going to happen. So I just had to figure out how to do it all. And I think I was just so like wanting to do that as well. Yeah. Like I did like a commerce degree at uni, which I slowly I started doing full time. And then as I got more and more into my music, it slowly drifted into like one unit a semester so I could start doing more music as opposed to, I just needed to finish that degree. But anyway, I suppose like having a bit of that like business nous kind of like helped a bit in terms of like how to write an email and like maybe understanding a little bit about like finances and stuff helped. But yeah, it was more than anything, it was just kind of like putting the time in and being nice to people and trying to make some friends in the industry and stuff.
And that's so cool because that's one thing I kind of like started a lot of this on my own. Once I learned how it went to make, I was writing for a site just as a writer, just reviewing stuff, probably similar to the person you reached out to. And I would kind of just wait for stuff to come and then write about it or write about things that I was passionate about. And then once I learned like, oh, I can reach out and kind of do my own things, I've been very surprised at just the kindness and willingness for people to speak about their art and also help me kind of develop my own taste as well with writing. And I've had a lot of people help me with ideas with the podcast, and it's been so great. And so I'm really excited for where it is. And so it's cool to hear another story like yours.
I think people are underestimate how much people are willing to help them. And then they might not send the email based on that. People have the time and often are nice enough to want to talk about these things and want to give back and help out people who are up and coming and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one thing I wanted to highlight, that because it's just like for people that are listening, I have people ask me about doing stuff in music a lot, and I'm like, I think one of the big things you just have to do is just ask and ask for advice, and people are willing to give it. And that's one thing in all aspects, whatever it is, music or other things. I think if there's something you want, that's something I learned a lot from my own self-doubts, is once I did it, it's been like one of the most fulfilling things of my life. And so I'm very grateful. So I just wanted to say that about just the emailing and surprising kindness of other people and time that people give.
Yeah, for sure.
I was gonna do a band name or bar name segment with you.
Awesome.
from your Instagram, but I'm sorry I did not. I did not do it enough, and I also don't hang out in bars enough to know. no different bar names, but I was going to do that, but I'm using that to segue into your social media. My favorite, I loved your highlight of basketball around the world, which is different hoops in different countries. And it looks like you travel all over the place. I wanted to hear maybe some of the favorite places that you've been.
I love basketball, and one of the things I always do when I'm touring around is either bring a basketball with me and try and find like courts just around that I can like shoot hoops, because I find it quite therapeutic to just go and shoot hoops, and it's a nice way to one, exercise, and two, like see a new place.
Absolutely.
But yeah, favorite places. I really like, for places that where I've played shows, I really enjoyed Vienna. It was such a lovely city, and I don't know, it just had this like magical vibe to it. That was really nice. Where else? Oh, Hamburg. Hamburg was really cool. I played a show in like a surf shop, and like the surf shop had like glass doors at the front that could open up, and everyone just like spilled out into the street. And so that was one of the coolest, coolest gigs I reckon I've ever played. It was just such a cool vibe, and everyone was just drinking beer, sitting on cars, and or sitting on the ground. And it was like a lovely like 30 degree day, and
that
made it really nice and balmy. And it was amazing.
Oh, that sounds amazing. Yeah, that's like two of my favorite things is music and travel. And so seeing that and basketball. So you put them all into one through your thing.
Yeah.
Seeing different.
I actually went to a game. Yeah, I went to a game in Utah once.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Jazz versus Portland or whatever. I did like a semester exchange in Montana, like maybe like 6 years ago, and went down for one weekend to see a game, because it was like the closest place that you could go from Montana pretty much.
Okay.
To like a NBA game. And yeah, I can't remember who won, but it was pretty cool to see.
That's so cool. Was fellow like Australia, was there some Australian pride with Joe Ingles and Dante?
I don't think he was playing. I think Dante was playing at the time. He was probably injured. He's always injured. But I don't think Joe Ingles was playing at the time. This is like 6 years ago. So it was like, I think LaMarcus Aldridge was playing.
Oh, wow.
Because it was the Blazers.
Yeah, that's back.
I don't know.
But wow, yeah. That's a really cool trip. That's so cool. And I encourage anyone to go check out your social media. That segment, the bar name or band name, is so funny. And then the hoops is just a fun watch to see. I mean, there's like a hoop in Frenchtown with a fence all around it that looks really cool. There's like Hamburg you mentioned, and it's like grass. It looks really cool. And so I loved that series.
Yeah. My favorite one was there was one outside Berlin where there's like that massive elephant on the wall that is just insane. It's so cool.
Yeah, it's so cool. You're like, it's right beneath a building. It's amazing. And so it's so cool how there's so many unique places and that people put a hoop and play, and there's like small courts in there. I love the series. And so I thought it was like a very like artistic way. It's a blend of art and sports, which I loved. And
yeah,
I wanted to ask you about some of the artwork, because I've noticed some of the artistic elements of not only the song and your songwriting, but in the album artwork. And so I loved, especially on the recent releases with Breathe and Release, Statues, and the EP covers. On Instagram, I noticed that Simon Marchner was tagged. I wondered if there was a cool story about kind of the selection of those, because I love all of the art forms that are on those covers.
Thanks. I had seen Simon's work. I think I followed him on Instagram, maybe seeing some of his work at South by Southwest at some point. And then I saw his stuff again in Hamburg at Reeper Barn last year. And I was like, oh my God, his stuff is so good. And I reckon it would be perfect for, like, I wanted to create like a series for each of the like singles and EP and stuff like that, and have them all kind of like, I don't know, that cohesion amongst them and tell the story. And then I created like some like pocketbooks out of them, and his work was just so good. So I reached out and I was like, hey, like, I don't know if you'd do this or if you really like would want to, but listen to the music and let me know if you want to create some artwork for the songs, because I'd love to have you do it. And he came back and he was, yeah, more than happy to be part of it.
Wow.
And created some amazing pieces. And I think it's so, like, music is amazing, and art is, like, there's so many incredible designers and illustrators and artists out there that, like, It's really like I love being able to blend the two together.
Yeah, I seriously loved it and was impressed. Took little screenshots, and then I really want the pocketbook. So I was planning on checking the store to see if there's some available after we spoke. But yeah, they're great. I saw today and was very excited to see you have a new song coming out on Friday called Electricity. Yes. What can you tell me about this song? I can't wait to hear it.
So this next EP is they're kind of all love songs. I haven't released too many. Like, I tend to opt for the more sad, somber songs that people might associate with the breakup, even though they're not really generally about that. I was just writing all these. I'm in a good place in my relationship, and all these kind of songs are coming out that fitted that theme, and it's a real balance to try and not make them sound too cheesy when I'm so used to writing like more somber songs, and then you don't need to worry about that. Whereas when you start writing some happy songs, like that happy cheese, like the balance is so hard. So I tried that anyway. Electricity is probably the saddest of the songs on the EP, so I thought maybe I'll release that first. it's just about the kind of going through life together with someone and kind of working towards like building that life together is pretty much what the song's about.
That's amazing. That's so cool. And then what's it like when like you say, there's kind of over the other releases kind of a somber feel, it sounds breakup-y, even though it's not always that. And then now doing, it seems more vulnerable to release like happy and kind of how you put it, cheesier feeling. To you, you're probably the only one that really feels the cheese, but what's it like putting more like, I feel like those are more vulnerable releases.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm feeling good about them. I think I like these six songs more than I do the one for the EP I just put out. But everyone always likes their most recent work. So I don't know if that really speaks to me much, but it's definitely, it's harder. I suppose the times when I'm more critical or more anxious of it is during the recording and like mixing stages of it. And then when I'm happy with the songs now, it's not like, I feel like it's done and I've reached the point where I'm okay in releasing it. So I'm like at peace with that vulnerability now, as opposed to like still kind of being anxious as to how it's received. But like, as I said, I'm in a good place with my songwriting. So once I'm happy with it, then I don't get as anxious about the releasing or whatnot.
Amazing. Well, that's something that I can't wait to hear. I can't wait to hear Electricity on Friday. Riley, I ask the same question to start every interview. I ask the same five questions to end every interview. And so I want to start with number one. Number one is if you had to have breakfast food, lunch food, or dinner food, only food from each like meal group for every meal, which meal would you choose?
Okay. So is this, I get to pick either only having breakfast for the rest of my life?
Yeah. Only breakfast food for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Probably only breakfast food for like breakfast, lunch, and dinner, I reckon. Yeah. 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 Yeah, I love breakfast.
That's my pick too. I love, and there's so many things that you can toss in there that kind of fit into breakfast that don't fit into other things.
Like, and also, you always advertise, like places advertise all day breakfast, but they never advertise all day dinner or all day lunch. Like, I think there's a reason why. It's because people like breakfast foods more.
I'm totally using that next time someone says dinner. I'm going to tell them that. But the only thing you miss really is salads, I've found, is salad and like barbecue if you choose breakfast. But I'm okay with that.
You can have, I suppose, a bit of barbecue. You could have some sausages and some bacon. But salads, you probably wouldn't get nearly as many vegetables as you need.
No, I'm sure there's a way. You stuff them all into an omelet.
Yeah, exactly.
Number two, I'm not sure if you're keen on karaoke, but what would be your go-to karaoke song?
probably there's a song by Lupe Fiasco called Kick Push, and sometimes I play it live, and every now and then I play it live because I get a bit confident and I play it, and then I forget the lyrics halfway through. So maybe if I have it as my karaoke song, I'll never forget the lyrics.
That's amazing. What a good song choice. I would love to hear you play that. That's awesome. Number three is a guilty pleasure that you have while on tour.
Pretzel sticks. Wow. Yeah. Well, that's probably my go-to like road snack for driving. I smash them. Plus, you can put them in your mouth and make yourself look like a walrus. It's always a plus.
pretzel sticks and playing basketball. Number four is one band that's not currently together that you'd love to have one more EP from.
Oh, that's a really good question. There's a Finnish band. I think they're from Finland, called Satellite Stories, that me and my brother would just kind of play on repeat, like over summer and road trips. They were really good for road trips, and we went and saw them one time. But now they're not together anymore. So I reckon just for our communal bonding over that band, I reckon it would be great to have one more.
That's amazing. I love that answer. Number five is, who's an interesting guest that you think that I should have on the Road Trip Playlist podcast?
Who's an interesting guest? Garrett Cato. Definitely. He's another Australian-Canadian musician. We did a tour last year together, and I've recorded some stuff with him, and he's, in fact, we have the same managers and same label. So maybe this sounds like an inside job, but definitely. He's just a funny, funny dude that can ramble and has some interesting opinions. So I think he would be good for a podcast.
Oh, amazing. He's on the list, and you mentioned nice. Australian and Canadian. I have an Australian and a Canadian playlist. It just so happens to be, I feel like those are my my things. Yeah. So that's funny that you mentioned that. Well, I'm very excited. I'm very grateful for the time, Riley. Like I said, I love your music. Breathe and Release is on repeat for me right now. And so thanks for taking some time out to speak with me and be on the podcast.
Thanks, Thomas. Appreciate it. And all the best with the next episodes.
Thank you. And good luck on your release on Friday.
Thanks.
Okay, bye now.
Sweet. Thanks, man.
Thank you one more time for listening to the Road Trip Playlist podcast and my interview with Riley Pierce. Don't forget to check out his music and his brand new EP on Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you listen to music. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review to the Road Trip Playlist podcast. We took a little bit of a break over the holidays, but we will be back next week with Willa Amai.